ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यथा यथा विक्रियते
यथा यथा विक्रियते
यथा यथा विक्रियते
यथा यथा विक्रियते
गुणार्थो विक्रतो गुणार्थो विक्रोति वा
गुणार्थो विक्रोति वा
गुणार्थो विक्रोति वा
गुणार्थो विक्रोति
वा तथो पाद सत्वा तथा तथा पाद रोस्तात्मा
तथा तथो
associated with the modes of nature,
vikroti,
as it does,
sva,
or,
tatha
tatha,
similarly,
upadrishta, observer, atma, the soul, tat, of the intelligence,
vritti,
occupations,
amukaryate,
imitates. Translation. Formally it was explained that the queen is one's intelligence. While one is awake or asleep, that intelligence creates different situations. Being influenced by contaminated intelligence, the living entity envisions something and simply imitates the action and reactions of his intelligence. Translation. Formally it was explained that the queen is one's intelligence. While one is awake or asleep, that intelligence creates different situations. Being influenced by contaminated intelligence,
the living entity envisions
something and simply imitates the actions and reactions of his intelligence. The queen of Puranjan is described here as intelligence itself. Intelligence acts both in the dream state and in the waking state, but it is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Since the intelligence is contaminated, the living entity is also contaminated. In the conditioned state, the living entity acts according to his contaminated intelligence, although he simply remains an observer. He nonetheless acts, being forced by a contaminated intelligence, which in reality is a passive agent.
Om Jnanatmirandasya Jnanandina Shalataya Chakshuram Virtavyena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Eva Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadati Svapurantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Lokesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसन्निधो भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचार
ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ಧಾರಣೆ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲನೇಷನ್ ಟು ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಜಾಪತಿ. Yesterday's verse was explaining how the mind is functioning, and then today is coming to intelligence, and we'll see how Narada is going to progress in his explanation further. I was hearing one of the lectures by Hridayas Urmila Mataji. Actually, she gave a very nice lecture on this particular verse, worth listening. She was explaining the how, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is giving certain indications of how intelligence gets contaminated by the three modes of material nature, which also is mentioned in the previous verse, where an individual being under the grip of modes of material nature thinks that he is the doer, he has controlled everything, and everything is happening based on his will, where the verse is quoted, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasya. So she was explaining that how, she was giving an example that, like, if you compare intelligence to a computer screen, and the three modes of material nature has three basic colors, which is blue, red and yellow, and how the mixing of these three colors forms an image on the screen, and we, the observer who is watching the screen, gets affected when some colors are thrown on the image on the screen. And you know how in the purport, where it says that at the last line of the purport, that intelligence which is contaminated under the three modes of material nature is actually a passive agent. So the screen is not doing anything, screen is just getting affected by the three modes of material nature. But we, the observer, even though we are watching the screen, when what's happening within the screen, suppose, you know, we are watching a Netflix show or watching some news or some ghastly situation which this current virus is causing. We are watching it. It's not that it's happening to us. But the impact is so intense, being deluded by under the grip of these modes of material nature, that we think it's happening to us. So we actually think that it's me who is getting affected. And there are psychological effects, and there are physiological effects also on us as individuals. You know, for example, many times after watching a horror movie, we see in horror movie there is a person coming with a saw and he cuts the arm of another person. And it's not that our arm is cut, but we watching it has such an impact on us, because the intelligence creates such an impact on us that even after that, darkness gives us fear. We seeing a saw gives us fear, and there is a change within the body. You know, previously once we were also discussing on this similar point. I was giving the example, you know, a boy watching. Suppose, you know, if someone is watching on the internet some adult movie, he's watching a screen and something is playing in the screen, but that has a effect on his mind and even on his body. So. And he has nothing to do with what's happening on the screen. So in a similar way, what Prabhupada is saying, that the living entity is also contaminated. In that conditioned state, the living entity acts according to his contaminated intelligence, although he simply remains an observer. So even though we are just observing and nothing is happening to us, but still something is happening to us. So that's a very interesting concept, I thought it is. Because you know, Sadaputta Prabhu explains, he gives the example of how kids, or many people, not even kids, even adults are engrossed in playing games, video games. Even in India, you know, because there is a 3 weeks lockdown going on, big celebrities, they're spending 4 to 5 hours, 6 hours every day on just playing video games. So there are certain games where virtually you can create your own world. You can have your own penthouse, or you can have your own farmhouse. You can do your own gardening. And there are devotees, Sadhguru was telling, there are devotees who within the game, construct a temple, organize kirtan, they preach, they go to Harinam. This is all within the game. I think the game is second life or something. So and they're doing it. So while the game is on and while you are fully engrossed in the game, it affects you. You feel part of it. You feel part of it. And even interesting on top of that, if we take this comparison of our life and playing this game, we the soul which is pure part and parcel of Krishna, interacting with this material world, and the example of we as individuals playing a game and then having a virtual reality in front of us in form of a screen. If we see, if we take the example of the screen and we are playing a game, we still have a sense of our own identity separate from the game. We still think, even though we may be playing 7, 8 hours, 6 hours a day, we still think that to whatever degree that I am separate from this game, but I am enjoying it, I am engrossed in it. Most of the people. I had one example. I was on the intersection of Burke and Johnson Street. This is 2 years back, coming back from Crossroads. Then went to buy something in Big W. And suddenly I saw a 14-year-old boy, Australian young boy. He came and we were about to enter the tram and he comes. Him and his sister, they both were there. Looked very normal. Both were talking. It was extremely normal talk. Like, and suddenly he started doing with his hand and he was aiming individuals. He aimed me, he aimed whoever he saw. He was individually aiming them. He was shooting with a gun, just with hand gestures. And then he went on the street with on the floor and then aiming and then shooting person behind, coming from target, shooting. And he did for at least 5-10 minutes till the train came. The tram came. And just by seeing, you could tell this is the result of playing too much games. And hours and hours of his time is going in game. And for sister, which also was, she was very normal, it was normal behavior. And she was saying, okay, it's time to go into the tram, let's go. And she was not stopping the brother. He must be doing all the time at home also, maybe. But I was thinking, if you give a real gun to this boy, I mean, for him it's a game. He'll just shoot. So, but for most of the people, even though there is too much, we are so much engrossed in the game, we still have a sense of our own identity outside the game. And that's man-made illusion. Now, Krishna's illusion, because he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also very amazing. His illusion is such that there is no chance left for us to have an identity separate from this game. We are part of this game. We are fully in this game. We are the soul which is pure, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is just totally relating to what's happening around. Completely relating to what's happening around us. And that's why if we see the process of bhakti, which becomes very practical in this day and age. Even practice of karma yoga is still practical if connected with bhakti itself. Is you being so engrossed in this game of life, what we are living in, you suddenly can't say, stop being part of this game, stop being part of your current reality, which is of course not the real reality of the soul. And then suddenly you turn to be a spiritualist and start thinking as a soul. That's where the process of Jnana Marga and all are leading the practitioners to, is that you stop this existence, this fake existence, and just focus on your spiritual existence. Whereas for us, for those who are practicing Bhakti Yoga, this benefit is there where even though theoretically we may understand I am part of spiritual world, I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but I am stuck in this game. Still, using the same thing within this game, we have an opportunity to come out of this mess, basically. So the point which Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada also makes, in few of his lectures also he says, that where he gave quotes, you know, making use of the bad bargain, he says, utilize the things what we have here, to escape from here.
Basically, that's the point.
So suppose if someone is addicted to drugs,
and you tell them, or if someone is a chain smoker, you tell them, stop smoking or stop your intake of drugs, it may not be possible.
So that gradual shift, which the benefit, the facility we have as Bhakti Yoga practitioner, or if someone wants to be a good husband or good wife or be an IT person or accountant, in terms of one's actual identity of being pure soul, these designations have no reality. But what scripture suggests, they suggest that you can be a Krishna conscious husband, you can be a Krishna conscious wife, you can be an IT accounting professional, but do it for Krishna. Whereas if you ask these individuals, leave this identity which is your material designation and just focus on your spiritual identity, it will not happen. So that's something which is very attractive in teachings of what Srila Prabhupada has given, which the challenge has given, is that utilize the bad bargain here to come out of this bad bargain itself. Example, if you see Prabhupada gives this example also. I think he gives the example of the pinprick. You use the same pinprick to take out another
the thorn to take out the thorn.
Yeah, if there is a thorn, you use another thorn to take out the thorn. So we utilize the same material arrangements around us to come out of the same material problem, basically. So, but that's a very gradual progression. Not everyone can take overnight transformation, cannot happen. Whereas the process of bhakti does give that facility that an overnight transformation can happen, but for majority it will not happen. It will be a gradual progression. It is not going to happen. So, in India, many years before, at least before I came to Australia, almost in 2003-04, there are very popular television series. The effect is so strong. Even here, there are many series going on Netflix or whatever. I don't know the details, but at least when I was there in India, which I saw with my own eyes, a popular series, Sarvajivavu series, was there, television series. And the hero in the television series died. And I myself saw my mother crying. So, there was no connection. There was no connection, first of all, between my mother and that person. And that too also, it's not real death. It's fake. It's just happening on the screen. And there is a drama happening. Someone is shooting and it's projected on the screen. And it was a big news throughout India that hundreds and thousands, maybe more than that, woman cried. And it became such a popular thing that people cried watching that series. So the three modes coming together, combining an image or reality, which is of course not the real life, creating such an image in front of us, and we feeling so attached to it, get affected. You know, there's so many examples. If you see in our lives, you know, someone is attached to a particular cricket team from a particular nation, and once he stops liking that cricket team from that nation, he doesn't feel the pain of that particular team losing. This is the amazing way it works. This material energy is working. You know, just one day before, you even knew that girl or the boy. If any death happens in that family, it doesn't bother you. One day later, when you know that boy or girl, any death happens in a family, that affects you. It's a relationship created. But if you see from a spiritual point of view, if you see from completely being a pure soul, from part and parcel of Krishna, from that point of view, it has nothing to do with it, basically. But it is our reality. And that's where, again, coming to the point of gradual progression in devotional service is just mind-blowing how Prabhupada has actually explained it and given it to us. That utilizing our own skill, utilizing our own talents,
come out of this materialness, basically. So, like yesterday's verse was explaining about the mind, and Govindesh Prabhu amazingly explained the workings of the mind. So, if just taking an example or taking going further a bit to explain how mind and intelligence are working. So, if mind is basically is a subtle faculty within us which takes the input. And then what the job of intelligence is to interpret those inputs basically, and then use in the discretion you, and based on how you have trained the intelligence to interpret the inputs which are coming to us. Any impression which is coming to us, whether watching or touching or seeing, my intelligence job is to remember and interpret. For example, if you're going to a desert and we see a mirage. So you see a mirage and then you chase for it. But then you get tired and you understand, oh, it's fake reflection of sunlight over sand. So I don't need it. So intelligence has to interpret that it is a fake image on the ground. Now next time when we again go to the desert, it's not that we don't see a mirage. We keep seeing a mirage again and again. We keep seeing a mirage again and again. But the intelligence has already interpreted that it's not true. It's the water is not there. So if in our lives also many times for many people it happens that a life comes to a standstill where majority of people start thinking, what is happening in my life? Where am I going? Where is it leading to? It doesn't give me any happiness anymore. I have a car, I have a bungalow, I have a dog, I have family, I have this, I have that, I have job. But where is it taking me? That happiness is not there which I want. And then there is no action taken on such experience which do come to us, do come to many common people also. There is no serious step taken to solve this question which comes within. And for most of the people, this question is resolved by, maybe I need an upgrade. Maybe I need to upgrade my car. Maybe I need to upgrade my house. Maybe I need to upgrade my gadget. Or maybe I need to upgrade my partner. But for very few fortunate people, when this query comes, that is it what life is all about? Is there anything more to it? And when, for very few people, when this question becomes stronger and there is some action taken on this inquiry within, whether I'm coming from Western world or from India, this question does come to people, where am I going? And of course there is advertisement propaganda, there is materialistic propaganda happening, which makes you remind you are not happy, you are not satisfied because you need an upgrade. And then once again, one is caught in that same cycle of upgrading. And you know, actually in US, one church, you know, near a temple there is a church which puts nice messages outside, very good messages. So one of the church in US, they had put a message out that if you have relationship problems, come this and this time for this services. In church we're having 10 to 11 whatever time, if you have relationship issues. This church would get maybe 20-50 people on maximum on the weekend. This time 2,000 people came. They wanted to upgrade or a solution. So many people had relationship issues to fix it. So and when such problem comes in our life and there is no solution which we sought after in looking towards spiritual direction, then again we forget that there is an opportunity. So in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verse number 62 and 63 is amazing verse, these two verses, which says, Dhyayato Vishyam Kumsa Sangas Deso Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodha Vijayate. So when one is contemplating on the objects of senses, while the contemplation happens, one develops attachment, and then from attachment lust arises, then anger arises. Then the verse 63 says, from kama krodha vijayate krodha bhavati sammoha sammoha smriti bimbana
Smriti Vamsha Buddhi Nasha Buddhi Nasha Pranashati. So he says when that anger comes, then bewilderment comes, then one loses one's memory, and then one's memory is lost, then intelligence is lost. So this is another very interesting thing with intelligence, especially because this purport is just talking about intelligence, is that when our memory is lost, then intelligence is destroyed, basically. Then intelligence pulls us down. So, you know, if we see current situation, practically if someone is on 10 WhatsApp groups, all 10 WhatsApp groups are just throwing us news about coronavirus. All what's going on in the news, what the problem the world has, all the issues which the world is having, and it's just so negative, sometimes you just want to just turn your phone off, you know, just don't want to hear about coronavirus. And even in devotee groups also, the same thing is happening, this constant messages, as if the world has no access to news channels, and only you have access to news channels, so you quickly, as soon as something new comes, you send on the WhatsApp group. And in devotee groups, you're expecting a positive approach towards the problems which you all are facing, some spiritual solutions will come. But what is fed in the memory? Again and again, there is a problem, there is a virus, there is a threat, there is a problem, there is a virus, there is a threat. And it next is you, next is you, next is you. So the intelligence is fully trained, constant memory is fed with just this coronavirus, and then when we start to chant, we expect the Hare Krishna consciousness. Or when we are coming in front of the deities or hearing a lecture or hearing a kirtan, then it's expected to be Krishna conscious. In just 2 days back, I was on one of my groups with my spiritual master. I had to request the devotees, you know, at least leave this group, you know. Someone from India, someone was putting again coronavirus, this image, that video. So at least leave this group. We all have so many groups. And where all these news are coming, at least certain groups you don't talk about it, because people come to such groups or certain WhatsApp groups to seek solace, to seek some spiritual guidance, to associate with the sound, with vibration of the spiritual master. So, you know, of course devotees have their concern, but what about the spiritual concern? Because based on this intelligence is our spiritual decisions going to be taken. You know, if you see, suppose if someone is watching something on television, again taking the example, and you like it, and then that feeds in your memory, then you again go and see that, constantly you're just going and watching that again and again and again, then when it's time for your intelligence to give you spiritual solution, it will not happen. You will naturally take shelter of that same television series, or some movie, or some news which you are watching, because there is no other hope, there is no other memory that is going in. So when the smriti, the memory of taking shelter of Krishna is lost, then pranashati, then one has no hope of advancing spiritually. So pretty important, because see here, like I gave the example before, a man-made illusion is made by a limited person, an imperfect person. So it has its limitedness. That's why even though we are engrossed for many hours in games or this television or whatever, we don't lose our identity. But this Krishna-made illusion is made by a perfect person. And the perfection of this illusion is that it makes you convinced that you are part of this illusion. That we are part of this illusion. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Devi Eshagunamai Mama Maya Puratya. This very strong, ruthless divine energy is my energy. But it's very difficult to overcome. It's very, very difficult to overcome. So within that difficult, very, very difficult to overcome material energy, then if these things are not seen in proper light, and intelligence is not trained, and intelligence is not fed with right memory, then what is expected? What is expected to happen? If you see the process of bhakti, which is from Shraddha to
coming back to nishtha, then to bhava, then to prema, all the nine stages that comes in between. At the beginning, in our beginning stage, we, the pure soul, has no connection with the Supreme Lord. Somehow, with good fortune or with association of devotees, we start this process. We start this process of devotional life. And then gradually coming in contact with devotees, they give us some bhajan kriya, some practices, spiritual practices, then anarthas, the unwanted desires from the heart starts to go, and our faith in Krishna starts to develop. And this whole progression is till very higher stages are still carrying these contaminations. And in, you know, Prabhupada gives an example of a cup filled with ink, and then you want to put pure water in it. So if there is a cup filled with ink and you start putting water, even if you pour half a cup of water in that cup which has full ink, now half cup is ink and half cup is water, you still can be very disappointed because you only see ink. It's just still dark blue or dark black color, whatever your ink is. But it's gradually working. If at that moment right steps are not taken, if the continuation of the process of devotional service is not happening, then we may stop pouring pure water in that cup of ink. And if the continuation happens, goes on, even up to the stage of bhava, even up to the stage of 95% of pure water going in, still there is a blue hue within that cup. You still can't expect pure water. It's only at the very, very highest stage where one has developed pure love for Krishna. So you know, like Chaitanya Sankara was once mentioning that even up to the stage of asakti, ruchi, bhava, a practitioner cannot give up taking help from one's intelligence. It is that important. So our intelligence is that important. Even up to that stage, that high stage, one cannot just neglect one's intelligence. And we have a very classic example from Bhagavatam of Bharat Maharaj. Even at the stage of bhava, and if he would have used his intelligence to go and take association of devotees when attachment to deer was happening very gradually, if there were devotees around him, as Bhagavatam explains, then things could have been very different. You know, deer's birth and Jayadrath's birth could have been avoided. So very important faculty within us. It's a very subtle faculty, very difficult to define sometimes, whether it's the mind or the intelligence. But of course, Prabhupada, the way he is explained in his books is very simple, that we don't have to get into the technicalities of how this subtle faculty within us is operating. You know, if you see the external elements, these five elements, and these 33 elements, five elements, we can very easily see how they are working, how they materialize, how they work. But these subtle elements can only be seen through their functions. You cannot experience the gross effect of it. So when something is seen through their functions, and we don't know how they actually function and how to actually work on them, then it becomes very difficult for a sadhaka, for a devotee, to take advantage of these facilities which we have, which is God given gift to us. Now Krishna says, Mata Smriti Jnanam Apamanam Cha, I need the remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge to come to me. But if the intelligence, if the desire is not strong and intelligence is not again trained to pray to Krishna for remembrance, then why remembrance will come? That's the point here. So, in a simple way, that Prabhupada's example comes, that Prabhupada was praying in front of the deities. Some other devotee was also mentioning in the class the other day that he was constantly praying to Krishna that please protect me from Maya. So, if a constant feeling is not given, of course he was teaching us how to do it, but it was a very constant effort done, that please protect me from your material energy. You know, otherwise, What hope do we have that when it comes, when it's time to actually remember Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, it will happen?
So, you know, yesterday was a very interesting day also. Yesterday was Hanuman Jayanti and the appearance of Hanumanji, a great devotee of Lord Ram. And we see in his pastime, in his service to Sri Ram, how he actually, if you see the main pastime of Hanumanji, which was, of course, first he made a meeting between Ram and Sugriva happen successfully. Then the next big task which Hanumanji achieved was to find Mother Sita. And if you see the whole pastime, it is nothing but Hanumanji's spiritual intelligence which is coming in action all the time. First is when he is crossing the ocean, and the demon within the ocean is trying to stop him. He uses his intelligence again to reduce his size, go in the mouth of the demon, come out, goes to Lanka, again uses his intelligence, takes the form of a small cat-like animal, and then again uses his intelligence that, oh, even though I am a brahmachari, but I have to still go in women's chambers to find Sita. And gets bewildered seeing Mandodari because she was one of the most beautiful women he saw. And again using his spiritual intelligence, then he saw, because he has never seen Mother Sita, when Ram was actually trying to threaten Mother Sita, that she agrees to Ravana's proposal. He again understands this must be Mother Sita, because she is trying to, actually when Ram was even coming to Mother Sita and talking, Mother Sita had actually curled her full body maximum to the back that she can maintain highest distance from Ram, but there was a limit. So she curled her whole body as much far as she can go from Ram, and Ram, and Hanumanji was watching it. He again thought, now how should I convince Mother Sita? Again he had to use his spiritual intelligence, how to convince. And interesting was, Lord Ram had sent different crews in all different directions, north, east, west, south. But only to Hanumanji he gave his ring, that if you find Sita, show it to her. No one else he gave anything else, if you find Sita. In hundreds and thousands, maybe a few millions of monkeys went everywhere, but only one Hanumanji got that ring from Lord Ram, ring or something he gave. Ring was there? Yeah, ring he gave. That, show it to Sita when you find. Amazing. And because, of course, he was sent in southern direction, because they had some indication that maybe she is gone in south. When Hanumanji comes in front of Mother Sita, Mother Sita also questions. Maybe it's fake. Maybe it's not Hanuman. Maybe it's not Lord Ram's messenger. Maybe it's some Ravana's another trick. And again, Hanumanji had to use his spiritual intelligence. Again, he had to start to think, okay, what can I do? How should I convince her? Then he shows the ring and starts glorifying Lord Ram. Now, again, after that, Mother Sita is convinced, Hanumanji goes. Again, he starts to use his intelligence. Now, how to create fear in Ram? So he goes and destroys Ashoka Vatika. Now he meets Ravana. He is captured after killing hundreds of his soldiers. He meets Ravana in his assembly, and his tail is burned with the intervention of Vibhishan, because Ravana wanted to kill Hanuman. Now Hanumanji is again using his intelligence how to create more fear in Ravana. That if a monkey from Ram's soldier, that's exactly what Hanuman told Ravana, that I'm just a mere monkey. He didn't tell I'm one of the greatest warriors of Ram's army. He said, I'm just a mere monkey. If I can do this damage, imagine what all soldiers Ram has. Constantly using his intelligence in service of Lord Ram. Now, he burns the Lanka, he flies back, and what does he get? He gets one hug from Ram. That's his gift. He gets one hug from Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is telling him, I cannot give you anything. The only thing I can give you is a hug. That means you just take me. Basically, that's what I have for you. And I am very pleased with your devotion. So, in this whole episode of Hanumanji trying to serve Lord Ram, one thing was very constant, that Hanumanji was not on an automatic devotional mode. He had to constantly use his intelligence, how to serve. And what happens by a constant usage in our day-to-day life of how to serve, what can we do in certain situations best to serve the Supreme Lord, then naturally it becomes a tendency of a devotee of how to use one's intelligence for serving the Lord. When this lockdown, this current situation happened, it took few days for devotees to actually figure out how to preach. But because they were constantly thinking how to preach, how to communicate, how to still be in touch with people outside. Now we see practically the whole planet, all devotees are just on sites, Zoom or WebEx or whatever sites you see. And they are having meetings which never happened before. Those people who would never come to our programs before are also coming to our programs now. We all tried. The number of people which we used to get for our student program has actually almost is 1.5 times. Now, because now we are doing online and everyone is free, and then, so I don't know where this impact will go. Even UK, they are doing a retreat on Zoom. A 7-8 very senior devotees are coming together and doing a retreat all together. So the point is, if devotees do not think, use their intelligence on how to do it, constantly thinking how to do, then these ideas would not come. So this I thought, okay, it's a nice example to learn from Hanumanji. We should not be surprised how many more other opportunities will be discovered by devotees to preach or even invented. In the way few ones are going to be on the planet. And we, from my little intelligence, I can't perceive what the results are going to be once things are normal in terms of Sankirtan movement. Because many devotees are planning very big. In India, ISKCON is just gaining such a name fame because devotees are constantly using their intelligence and they are getting such media hype. By they are just going right in front of media within the hot spots and distributing prasadam, and they are gaining such popularity. It's amazing how it is happening. Some devotees in one of the temples, they went and they decorated a police station with lamps on that day when Prime Minister of India said light a lamp, and whole media coverage happened because they decorated a police station. They used intelligence. Okay, how to get maximum media coverage, how to get maximum mileage out of it. And they made a map of, using a lamp, they made a map of India and wrote Hare Krishna on top of it in a police station. Now police is glorifying the devotees of ISKCON for doing this job. And what they did, they went to thank the police department and health department for helping in such a crisis. And that became a big news. And prasadam distribution, practically few million plates of prasadam are distributed throughout India now. Even Melbourne, just sharing local example, we just put on status that we are distributing prasadam. And the response we got from people, at least who are in my contact, I don't know, others can also say, was very encouraging in terms of having a good name. I just put that on my status, and one of the person who is one of the biggest migration agents in Melbourne, very popular, he also put on his status the same post. He picked up from my status, he put in there, and then few hundreds another watched, and then they are congratulating him for doing this great service. And so it's amazing. This is the use of intelligence in such crisis. So I don't know what else will come. Many more opportunities will come, but only it will come to those devotees who have trained their intelligence, who are still training their intelligence on how to do it. Just a week before, Gopamandeshu was asked by a communication devotee. He just comes and cleans kitchen once a week because he was using his intelligence how to utilize this opportunity to preach to his colleagues. He went and asked his boss, company manager,
can we do a program for all the staff? And he said, oh, it's a good time to do a meditation program. And then he agreed, he asked Prabhu, Prabhu agreed, and the program happened successfully. You know, 25-30 people who had no chance of coming, not every devotee ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
They attended the program and they liked it. And they liked it. And it will happen again. So, but means he's just a kitchen cleaner. No, he was thinking how to preach, how to use his intelligence. He was thinking and he did it. And who knows where it will end. So use of intelligence is going to happen in all our cases. But how is decided by individuals? So seeking blessings of Hanumanji that we can use our intelligence in the right direction. It's very important. In tough times it's more difficult. So in seeking blessings of Srila Prabhupada and all the seven devotees and our Lordship that this can be done. I'll stop here with any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu.
Do you take your mind and intelligence to the spiritual world, or is it just to Yamaraj? Because I know when you go to Yamaraj,
yeah.
You take your mind and intelligence with you. Otherwise, how can you suffer? How can you experience anything?
Yeah.
So
the question is, do you take your mind and intelligence when you go to the spiritual world? Because when we die, it goes to Yamaraj. So the body is finished, we all know. It's born dead or buried. Then when you're talking about mind intelligence, the soul is wrapped around the subtle body because that decides. That's where our karmic actions and reactions, our desires are fielded. So that takes us under the guidance of superior personalities. Our next body is given to us. Then it goes on and on. Till the time we are not liberated. When we are liberated, then this mind and intelligence, see, it's not that in the spiritual world I don't need mind and intelligence, but it's completely spiritualized. It's just completely spiritualized. So the mind and intelligence in spiritual world, you know, Purnamasi is one of the associates of Supreme Lord in Golok Vrindavan. She's constantly using her intelligence, constantly on how to arrange the spiritual world in a way which serves Krishna the best. Her constant job is that. Okay, now Krishna wants Vasalila. Okay, full moon should come. Arrange the background, you know, change the whole thing. Plant should be of this color now. This fragrance should be there now. This swing should be there. Trees should be like this. This whole arrangement should need intelligence. So, we all need intelligence. And did you increase the volume? It's too high. So, in spiritual world, it's 100%, not 99%, 100% pure spiritual mind intelligence, but it's there. Yes, Mandi.
Thank you. Prabhu, just a comment. You know how we're doing the prasadam distribution now?
Mm.
I think we should do it like even in a larger scale, but whatever it may be, whatever is happening is very beautiful, and I think once all this is over, the community will remember that the Hare Krishna community did that for the poor people, and it's very important.
Yeah.
Because like I was doing the gate duty as well sometimes, and it's quite painful because some homeless people coming in just asking and pleading and saying,
yeah,
true. I don't have any food, and I have to say no, and I change your room after you told me go make up a bed and give them. And I used to do that sometimes, but then they would, I wish I had that context because they said, when are you going to be reading about it?
Yeah, they'll find out because on social media they're promoting it. Very interesting thing happened. Till the time we close down, you know, we see hundreds of people coming over the week. We just see and we get used to them. And we just see them, we get used to them. But after the lockdown happened, I personally realized how many people are actually dependent on the temple. It's just a huge number. Emotional dependency, prasadam dependency, association dependency. Just come and do service, that dependency. Just some engagement dependency. Seeing the deities dependency. Doing some service dependency. This is a big list. In 2-3 days I figured out after the temple got locked that people are so much dependent.
It's just nicely, fully established practice and devotees are also dependent. And a person on the street is also dependent. So big goals are achieved slowly. Then there, let's keep our foot strongly and properly and gradually increase. Everyone has desire to help society. And we want to, but let's see how successfully we can do it. Yes, Mataji, you ask.
It's how we can reconcile the concept of the soul is active and the purpose. Prabhupada said that it's just a
observer.
Yeah, passive observer.
No, the passive is used for intelligence. The passive is used for intelligence, soul is the observer.
Yeah.
So, this is, I explained, but I wanted to go into detail, somehow I missed it.
And also,
yes.
That in relation to action and reaction, action, inaction, and inaction, inaction,
yes.
Knowing that the laws of nature are actually who orchestrate all the activities, how we can reconcile.
Yeah. So, in the first part of your question is how the soul is observed and still soul gets implicated. That was the example I was giving. Suppose you are watching something on the screen and you are observing something on television. Now when you are watching something on television, it's not that you who is killed. It's not that you whose arm is amputated, or it's not you who is chased by five people. But it's not you, right? You are observing it, you are just the observer. But still it has impact on you. Even though you are observer. So the impact on you will depend on how much you connect with it. Suppose, just give an example. Do you like cricket? No, right? So suppose now you are asked to sit in front of a cricket match and you are watching. A team wins, a team loses. Does it affect you? But people cry. A soccer match is happening and someone is watching. If I watch a soccer match, I have no, it doesn't bother me an inch who wins, who loses. But people have fought with each other, broken other person's nose, hands, legs, they have killed people after losing or winning a match. What makes the difference? Everyone is an observer. You are also observer, I am also observer. But based on my attachment, it affects me. Based on my attachment, it affects me. So as a pure soul, if my attachment is there to a certain individual, to a certain family, you heard this Prabhupada saying, to a certain nationality, to a certain community, and when that attachment, based on that attachment, something happens to that nationality or community or family or individual, then you get hurt. That's where the verse Sarva Padhi Vinay Mukta Tattvam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana Bhakti Vichate. To give up all this designation by serving the master of the senses is our process. But it's a gradual process. It's slowly achieved. So the goal, just imagine, for example, someone has a family member and they're very attached. Husband is very attached to wife, wife is very attached to husband. Now if husband and wife die, there is a natural reaction of pain, of sorrow, of grief. It is natural, it's not to be criticized, it's naturally going to happen. But now the same soul, when the same soul is liberated and goes to the spiritual world, they may laugh on their previous actions, you know, what I was crying for, just the body changing, you know, this. Why? Because the designation is just, it's no more there. So till the time this designation, this attachment, this in very direct terms, this contamination on the covering of the soul, this contamination is there, till then this is going to happen. But we are still the observer, because it's not happening to me, it's not happening to the soul. So this attachment is the cause of pain and suffering, or happiness also. Not the soul per se, in that sense. You got the
point? In that sense, how we can understand the soul as an active agent? Because it's just, based on your explanation, is the input that we can receive and the effect is out of can be dependent in our level of consciousness.
Yes.
But it's just the input towards us.
Yeah.
But what about the soul as an active agent?
Yes. I'll give you another example.
And that related to the encouragement that you were trying to convey in class about the use of intelligence.
Yes.
So the soul as an active agent and using the intelligence.
Yes.
An observer at the same time.
Yeah. So thank you for this question. So if you see, I'll give you this example, we will understand it. So, forgot the example. Just thought and then this example came to my mind and it flipped out. The first part of the question was how soul is this observer. Now, what was the first discussion you asked? I'll remember the example for that.
It's more the soul as an active agent.
Huh. Oh yes, now it came to mind. Suppose you are, you know, let's say mind, intelligence and soul, three faculties we have. And then, you know, mind has, mind works in by taking inputs. So suppose you, if you have grown up in Australia, here the common breakfast is bread, butter, eggs, bacon. The country where I come from, especially that part of India, the common breakfast is, you know, you just take aloo paratha, gobi paratha, some bread, you know, such stuffed bread. The part where someone from southern part of India comes, then it's idli, sambar, dosa, uttam. So these are the inputs that has gone in. And that's the mind which input takes the input. The intelligence interprets it according to whatever the intelligence is fed with in terms of health, hygiene, taste, whatever. And then, now suppose if I have a desire, I want to eat breakfast. So now based on what inputs you've got, your options will pop up. Okay, oh, I want muesli with yogurt and some fruits on top. And I will like it. So these options will come. Now, mind is producing the options. Now intelligence is going to interpret and discriminate what would you like to eat. But why soul is activated is because once the intelligence, which is the next door neighbor of the soul, Bhagavad Gita says, intelligence will only give, okay, this is the best option for you. Why soul gets implicated is because it's soul who says yes or no, I will eat or not. So even after your intelligence does give you this is the best option amongst your current options, it is still your choice whether to go for it or not. That the final choice is given to the soul. And that's why soul gets into the action, the web of action and reaction. Because many times people say, oh, if a material mode, which is just the mind or intelligence, is troubling me, why I am suffering? Why I have to go through 8.4 billion species, you know? Why? Because I approve it. I go for it, yes or no. And that's where, if you take a step back, that's where another difference between conscience and intelligence comes. It's very similar, but it's different. So, conscience is many times the voice of the Supreme also, Super Soul within. But intelligence is more connected to the material, subtle realities. So, but they are very similar. It is very difficult to break the thread and try to figure it out exactly how it is working. So, because we, being the observer, are actually the approver or desirer also. We are actively participating in it also.
Based on
that
understanding, can we say that the material intelligence as well as the material mind are no effective via media where the soul can express itself, and if we have the proper purified intelligent and mind,
yes,
so the soul will be expressed in a better way.
Exactly.
And most his action would be limited only to say yes or no. It would more properly express his natural constitution due to the purity of the media.
Yes, because some people they question, you know, does soul have emotions? Yes, why not? Soul has emotions.
So, soul does express, but the covering is so thick that it's like, you know, the example you've heard, child in the womb, fire and smoke, mirror and reflection, that different gradation of the covering. So, soul does have a capability to express. Soul has its own pure mind and intelligence, but the covering is so thick. You know, for example, this you will understand, you are a good cook, you will understand this. Suppose you are boiling milk and something happens in your belly, and for 1 or 2 hours later you come and you really burn the pot. Means you burn it to such an extent that it's just, either you throw the pot, but you suppose you are very attached and it's a good pot, you don't want to throw it. But you know this is going to take hours to clean and get the burned part away. So what do? Every day 10-15 minutes, half an hour, you just soak it and rub something. Then next day you come and soak and rub something. Next day you come again, soak and rub some, scrape it. And after some days of scraping, you start to see, oh, some silver is now visible. Some silver is visible. But before it was not visible. But cleaning was still happening. So so this is exactly the covering of the soul. The covering of our soul is so thick that the pure material, the pure soul can't even express. And suddenly what happens in many people's life, they do get certain glimpses that, no, this is not what I'm going through. This is not what life is meant for. This is not giving me the pleasure I want to see. This is not what I want. What is happening? And then what solution they have? Upgrade. Change. But only very fortunate soul, they get a solution by an association of devotees, that don't worry about changing or upgrading a material situation. Look for an alternative option, that there is a problem in your application only, that you are not working on the platform of soul. You know, when we sit and hear kirtan, do we really feel what residents of the spiritual world feel by hearing the holy name of Krishna? I doubt. But there are some glimpses, like some silver, we may get some traces of the effects of holy name. So that's why it's a gradual process. So
I was trying to see it. Basically, in your class, the encouragement to use intelligence. So as a media, as a way how the soul can express and be effective in a certain sense. So that can be applied each one of us in a little way. And it's just trying to analyze that part,
yeah.
How the soul as an active agent using intelligence and not just an observer.
Yeah.
But because of the emotion as service, the purity of the emotion as service, of the motive, makes the purity. So then can be a better way to express and be,
yeah,
effective in one,
yeah,
sense.
And that's what they gave the example of the pot. When actually it's clean, then the usage of the pure pot, which is pure soul in that example, will be very different than just a burnt pot. So the point you're making, you know, the soul which has a very direct connection with intelligence. You know, suppose take the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was operating on the platform of soul. So now, being operating on the platform of soul, it's not that he was not using his intelligence. His intelligence was completely spiritualized, so his intelligence was used for that same purpose. But same thing for his new disciples, there was a fight. For us, there is a fight. Many times we use our intelligence for material purposes, many times for spiritual purposes. And then the fight goes on and on and on and on. And if you continue the fight, then spiritual intelligence will take over, because that's directly acting either in connection with the soul or on the guidance of the soul or the supreme soul, whatever people say. So yeah.
Thank you.
Brahmacharya Bhagavatam ki jai.